This is Pastor Mike Parks welcoming you to Church 180's weekly radio broadcast, Turn Your Life Around. It is our prayer that through the word we are about to share, that you would be encouraged, enlightened, and empowered to get your life on track through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's get right into the message this week. I hope it's a blessing. So as I prayed this week about where God would have us go, because, you know, we're studying. When God put all this on my heart about getting to know God, listen, there's this study of religion called theology. I am not a theologian. I did not go to Bible school. I did not go to seminary. Now, I'm going to be honest, there's a part of me that's a little envious of people who got to go through seminary. I mean, they can talk about homileticals and apologetics and all that. I thought the apologetics was a band. I'm serious, which they are. Anyway, they talk about all this stuff, and it's funny. I get around my friends who went to seminary, and they'll talk about all that stuff, and I got my phone out. I'm Googling whatever it is they just said. And I'll be, like, sneaking in a look. I'm like, oh, yeah, and I'll talk about it. But I went to business school. I went to Shawnee State University and took business administration. So when I look at what God, who God is, and want to know more about God, I can't take it from a theological standpoint because I've not been trained that way. So all I have, me, myself, is the Word of God. Now, I'm glad that's all I have, because there's nothing wrong with being educated and trained. I think if you can, you should. Amen? But that just wasn't the path God put me on. Now, I've been on a experiential school my entire life. My father was a pastor. I was born into a house that went to church my whole life. So my whole life I've been trained to do this job, but I've never been to seminary. So to come at it from a theological standpoint, I can't do that. So what we're doing is we're studying just what God's word says. So just what every one of us, because are there any theologians here? One? Two? No? Okay. So if we're going to understand who God is, we need to use what we have, which is the Word of God. And so we studied, you know, for 12 weeks who God is. God is a spirit. God is love. God is jealous. God is Father. God is Son. God is Holy Ghost. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. We talked about how God is faithful, God is merciful, and God is the Creator. Those were the 12 things of the Bible. And there's more, and so much more. But like I said last week, there's some things you just need to experience for yourself to know who God is. Like, I could stand up here all day and tell you how God's my friend, but until you experience God being sticking to you closer than a brother, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. And so this time we've shifted gears and now trying to get to know God, because if you remember last week, Daniel 11:32, it's right back there on that wall if you don't know what it says. It says, they that know their God shall be strong. So your strength depends on you knowing God. Your strength comes from your relationship with God. And then the other thing, Jesus said in Matthew 7:22-23, the people came to him and said, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. So not only does your strength depend on knowing God, your eternity depends on you knowing God. Not knowing who he is, but knowing him. And so we shifted gears, and another way to get to know somebody is to know what they want. What they like, and what they desire. That's known as their will, okay? And so we've been studying what the will of God is. Now, so as I was praying this week, preparing, and, you know, and there are scriptures in the Bible that says the will of God is. We talked last week. First of all, you need to make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanks be given for all men. And it goes on to say, for this is the will of the Father. Okay, so we talked about how, first of all, prayer is God's will. You need to pray. Amen. So I have a whole list of scriptures that, and I thought to myself, but it's Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day. And I thought to myself, how on earth am I ever going to connect Mother's Day with the will of God? So I began to think about my mom. And I began to think about all the lessons she taught me, like she taught me to pray. And I thought, daggone it, I preached that last week. So then I thought, what am I going to do now? And I began to think about the life lessons that mom had taught me, like the time I stole candy from the Ben Franklin store, which is where Rent-to-Own is in West Union now. Anybody ever old enough to go to the Ben Franklin store at the corner of Market Street in Maine? They used to have a Brock's candy bulk right in the middle of the store. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Yes, praise God. Amen. When I was 6 years old, I thought, man, those caramel with the white stuff in the middle. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. It's like a giant cow's tail that they cut into little slices. Amen. Big old cow's tail. You know, not them little skinny things. Big old cow's tail. And I got to thinking Mom was getting her stuff at the Ben Franklin store. And I remember thinking, they're not going to miss one. And I took one. I put it in my pocket. And we got in the car. It was a 1972 green Ford LTD. And as we're driving home from the store, I begin to unwrap the candy. Mom says, what are you doing? And I said, nothing. Where'd you get that? At the store. Mom turns around, drives back to the Ben Franklin store, takes me in, asks to see the manager. Manager comes out. Mom says, now tell him what you did. I took this piece of candy. He goes, well, and he started to say, oh, that's okay. You know how people, Mom goes, no, it's not okay. Stealing's wrong. Now you apologize to him. I had to apologize. This guy I never met before. Oh, I'm sorry. Of course, he was that tall because I was, I'm sorry. And then when I got home, I got my hind end spanked. And so I remember Mom teaching me about stealing, and I remember the one time I was 9 years old and we were in Portsmouth and we were shopping for school clothes because we only went shopping for school clothes once a year. Now, Mom shopped other times for school clothes, but those were called yard sales. We would go, when we got our tax refund, Mom would go buy us school clothes for that year. That's one time a year. We got one or two pairs of pants and a new pair of shoes. And that's it. That's all you got. Well, where Odd Lots is in Portsmouth now, I think it's still Odd Lots. Used to be a heart store. And I remember getting out and thinking to myself, you see that horse right there in the front? That if you put a nickel in it, that's right, it was only a nickel back then. It would go. I thought, I'm going to run up there and get on that thing. So I took off running across the parking lot. And I cut off two ladies on my way to the horse. And I don't know how this happened, but out of nowhere, the Vulcan death grip got a hold of me right here. And I thought, ah, and I'm like, and Mom says, you cut those ladies off. Now open the door for them, because back then there wasn't no, it was manpower. So I opened the door for the ladies. And the ladies went in. And of course, they said, thank you. And of course, the Vulcan death grip pinched a little more and said, say you're welcome. We're welcome. Now let your mother go in first. Then I let my mom go in. Now get in here. And to this day, when I see people running across the, walking across the parking lot, I feel the death grip. And I'm like, let me get the door. So I remember the lessons Mom taught me, but to go with coincide, and then it hit me, Sister Janice, that one of the things Mom taught me is absolutely what the Bible says is the will of God. And this was actually probably one of the first lessons Mom taught me. It was from very little age. And I'm sure I'm not the only one whose mom did this. When someone was polite to me or gave me a piece of gum, stick of gum at church or a piece of candy or a mint, Mom would look at me and say, now what do you say? Thank you. From as far back as I can remember, the first lesson my mom taught me, and she, it was never say thank you. It was always say, now what do you say? Now what do you say? Thank you. Mom taught me to be thankful. She taught me to give thanks. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse I believe 18. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So last week we learned that it is the will of God to pray. And remember, it was even said, give thanks for all men. Well, God didn't leave it there. Now he's saying, not only be thankful for everybody in your life, be thankful for everything in your life. Now, it doesn't say be thankful for every good thing. It doesn't say be thankful for every great thing. It doesn't say just be thankful for the things that you like, whether they're good or not. It says be thankful in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. For this is the will of God. And I got my notes here, and I was going to be smart, you know how I am and creative. I was going to have them play a little tune right here. Because I say, the way I like to get this is be thankful for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Ah! Oh, woo, woo, woo. Wah, wah, wah. Be thankful for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Be thankful for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because the Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That if you will be thankful, not just for the good, but the tests that come along in your life, the temptations that come along in your life, knowing that God is working in you a far greater thing. In Romans, Paul said it this way, about the same sufferings as Christ. He said, knowing that the result is going to be so much greater, the glory which shall be revealed unto you is so much greater than the sufferings that you have to go through today. See, because that great prophetess, Kelly, what's her last name? Clarkson, thank you. See, I'm not really good with my prophetesses as much as I am my prophets. There's not a lot of prophetesses mentioned in the Bible. And Kelly Clarkson's not in your Bible either, by the way. But she sings a song that says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And that's exactly what this verse says. And you need to be thankful for the times. See, let me put it to you this way. If you want to be stronger physically, okay, you've got to add resistance to your workouts. See, I mean, how many of you ever see the marathon runners? Anybody watch any of the marathons on TV? You ever see any of the marathon runners? Those people are not trained for strength. They're trained for endurance. And they're this big around, and their legs look like toothpicks. Right? Now compare them to runners who run 100-yard dashes. And what do they look like? I mean, they're only runners. They're only runners. But their legs aren't the only big part on them, is it? They are ripped up like I don't know what. Why? Because they're not built for endurance. They're built for power. And they have a lot more resistance. And you know how they train? See, marathon runners don't add parachutes to their back when they're running 26 miles. Marathon runners take off every weight. Like they have wear the thinnest shirts, the shortest shorts, the lightest shoes they can get. Think about picturing a marathon runner. It's what they want to be, as light as possible. No, when you're training to be a sprinter, you tie sleds to your back. You put parachutes on your back. You got those band cords where somebody's pulling while you're trying to run away from them. Because if you want to be stronger, you have to have resistance. And as Christians, the only way you're ever going to be stronger is when the resistance of life pushes against you. You push back with the power of prayer. You push back by giving thanks. You push back that by no matter what the devil throws at you, you're still going to praise God. You're still going to give God honor and glory. See, that's how you beat the devil. When no matter what he throws your way, you give God praise, you give God honor, you give God glory, because what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And if I can be stronger, I'll be perfect and entire and want nothing. But we don't like resistance. It was like yesterday. I did a good deed yesterday. Amen, I did. And I was umpiring. I was scheduled to umpire at 12, and I was scheduled to umpire at 4, and Nathan had a ball game at 2. So I get a phone call on Friday night from Nathan's coach that says, hey, they're going to cancel our game if we don't find umpires. He goes, and even though it's at Eastern, if he said he can't find umpires, so ask me if I could bring some. I said, well, I was coming to watch Nate's game anyway. I said, but I can't ump behind the plate because it's my kid. I can ump bases. The rules will allow a parent to do the bases, but not the plate. I said, I'll find somebody. So I took my friend with me, one of my other umpires, and we go to do this game. Instead of watching my son, which I kind of watched, but do you know how hard it is to sit there and umpire and your kid does something and you're like, hey, swing sooner. But you can't do that. You know, you can't coach while you're umpiring. And I'm like, every time he would do something, I'm like, I mean, there was this one play where Nathan was halfway off second base, and I heard the coach, the Eastern coach, tell the catcher, throw it to second base. And I wanted to turn to Nathan and say, hey, when he throws it to second base, you go to third, okay? And I'm like, couldn't do it. But we get down near the end of the game, and the home plate umpire calls a pitch a strike that a parent from Eastern didn't agree with. And when they said what they had to say the first time, I let it go. And when they didn't said what they said the second time, I let it go. The third time, I was like, that's it. It was a good pitch. I didn't even make the call. But, I mean, she was berating the umpire, making him. I said, time. I went over and said, you've said your piece. You need to be quiet. And then they mouthed back. And so I said, well, you couldn't leave if you want to. You know, I threatened to throw them out. And you know how that goes. So, and the score was 17-4. And why on earth they're arguing one pitch? I don't get that, because they were losing that bad. And that one pitch didn't make any difference in the game. So when the game ends, we're ready to get out of there, because at 4 o'clock, I'm supposed to be back in Winchester umpiring. And I didn't have to go do that. I didn't have to go to Eastern. I just did it so the kids could play. Then the lady comes over and just starts giving us every piece of her mind she had. She gave us, it wasn't just a piece, she gave us her whole mind. And me and all my couthness, and you all know how couth I can be when someone's being belligerent. Well, those of you who know me well know how couth. I said, lady, you need to shut your mouth. Yeah. Well, her husband didn't like that at all. You say, where are you going with this, Pastor Mike? I was trying to do a good deed. And I got cussed and threatened and about everything you could think of. Just trying to do a good deed. But I didn't lose my temper. So, you know, I get in the truck and I'm thinking to myself, let's get out of here. Let's get to Winchester. My phone goes off. It's the coach at North Adams waiting on me to be there at 4 o'clock, and it's 10 after dealing with all that. Where are you at? I'm trying to do a good deed. Quit yelling at me. And at some point, I had to just sit down and say, thank you, God. Thank you. Because I can see where you were working in me a far greater glory than that little suffering I had to go through. And you know what? That's how the devil don't win in your life. When you go through something, see, he can't harm you. All he can do is influence people around you. And a lot of times we get mad at the person instead of the spirit behind the person. You've heard me say this before, those of you who come here a long time. You need to get mad at the spirit behind it, not the person. More importantly, you need to thank God for the opportunity to grow. You need to be thankful. Now, really quick, I want to talk to you about why we're not thankful. The reason we're not thankful is because we don't look at what we have. We look at what everyone else has. And that's when we're not thankful, because we think, well, everybody else gets this and I don't get that. Blah, 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 blah. I want to show you a scripture in Exodus. And this is God talking to Moses, chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto you." And the Lord said, "What is in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." Now, Moses could have looked at that rod and said, "But I don't have an army like Pharaoh. I don't have magicians like Pharaoh. I can't do wondrous works. I don't have the ability to speak like Pharaoh. I don't have this. I don't have that. All I have is a wife, a father-in-law who gives me a job, watching sheep on the backside of the desert. And all I have in my hand is a rod." He could have been that way. But how many times do you want to bet that the first time he walked into Pharaoh and he threw down the rod and it became a snake? And then the other guy said, "Oh, we can do that." But then Moses' rod snake, is it a rod snake? Yeah, it would be a rod snake. Not like a rat snake, a rod snake. His rod snake ate their rod snakes, and then he picked it up and became a rod again. You don't think he was like, "Thank God for my rod"? And then when he walked out to the Nile and he touched the rod to the Nile and it became his blood, you don't think he was like, "Thank God for the rod"? And how about all the other times? "Oh, we're thirsty. Smack the rock with the rod." "Thank God for the rod." "Oh, we need to cross the Red Sea." "Smack the water with the rod." "Thank God for the rod." Pharaoh sent an entire army. Moses could be like, "They got weapons. God, we don't have weapons. What are we going to do?" He didn't do that. God said, "What's in your hand?" "A rod." See, so many times in our lives, the reason we're not thankful is we look at all the things we don't have. And we want to get angry at somebody because we don't have what they have. We want to get mad at God even because somebody else has something that we don't have, and we're like, "That's not fair." I'm ready to give you the biggest piece of revelation knowledge. Get your pens out. Get your pens out. I'm about to give you something that's going to change your life. You ready? Get your phone out and text yourself a note if you have to. I'm going to give you something that's going to change your life forever. Ready? Ready for the biggest revelation you've ever had? Life is not fair. Life is not fair. So for you to say, "That's not fair," guess what? That's life. That's the way it is. You know, Sister Betty, who comes to church here, Betty Wright, her mom got to live to be 96. Mine only got to live to be 70. That's not fair. Guess what? That's life. See, I could get all mad at Sister Janice. You still have your mom. It's Mother's Day. I don't have mine. That's not fair. It's life. It's what happens. It's what is. So I could either be unthankful and get angry, Or I could be like, thank God, because I know where mom is. And I can get there again someday. And thank God Betty's mom lived to be 96. And thank God Sister Janice still has her mom. Thank God that you guys get to have that. That's awesome. Because I love you. I want you guys to experience great things as your pastor. So praise God. See the difference? There's this thing called in flight, called maximum altitude. And that's as high as they can take a commercial airliner without the air being too thin. There's this place they call it, they call it the sweet spot. I looked all this up too, by the way. It's on the internet, so I believe it. Anyway, this the sweet spot. That's the perfect air density to where they can their engines work really super efficient and there's really not a lot of drag. But yet there's enough air to make it to lift the plane. You go higher than that, the air gets too thin. And now the engines have to work even harder to make, because the air's not hard, strong enough, because it's not dense enough to make the plane float. Okay? But there's this thing called maximum altitude. And a commercial airliner, you know, there's all different kinds of commercial airliners. Some of them, their max is 40,000 feet. Most planes travel between 32 and 36,000 feet. That's the sweet spot. But then there are 747s. They can go a little higher. And then there's these one planes, you've heard of them, called the Concorde. The Concorde can get from New York to London in like hours. I mean, like little hours. Like 3 hours. It takes like 18 hours to get there on a regular jet. The reason that Concorde can get there is it can travel even higher. And the reason the Concorde can travel higher is because it's built different. And your attitude of gratitude determines your maximum altitude. In God, because if you're not going to be thankful, God's not going to give you a lot. I want you to think about people who don't have a lot. And most of them are complainers. Most of them are woe is me. Most of them are poor me, poor me, poor me another. That's why they got Celebrate Recovery. It's the truth, people. You don't know what I've been through, Pastor Mike. Oh, shut up. I've been through lots of stuff too. Everybody has. You have the same opportunities I have. There is a Lord. His name is Jesus. He died for you. Just like he died for me. I can choose to live my life according to the Word of God, just like you can. And if you live by the principles that's in the Word of God, God will bless you just like he's blessed me. God is not a respecter of persons. Do you understand? So it's all in. What's your attitude? We need an attitude check. We need an attitude check. We need to look at what we've got and then for that little voice to say, now what do you say?
I pray this week's message has touched your heart. If you have need of prayer or would like more information, you can call Church 180 at 937-386-0333. Visit our website at www.church180.org or check out our Facebook page. Our church is non-denominational with a welcoming environment. Blue jeans are welcome and so are you. Church 180 is located at 2556 Moores Road in Seaman, Ohio, right across from North Adams High School. We would love to have you come be part of our family. The services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. This is Pastor Mike Parks praying you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday right here on C103.